list under Amanda Degree Works. I just found out. That's why.
Say that again?
Under
it's really supposed to be there. Okay, we did data manipulation. Records and table types I'm going to come back to, and they're actually going to be embedded in curses to some degree, and I'll come back. So as I told you, I probably should just change the order of these, but I left them in their original order. So we're going to start introduction to curses. Okay? So I created a table that was part of the donor table for use in something. So I've got create table donor part, which is going to have a name, year, goal, and state. And I'm creating it by making a copy from the donor table of name, year, goal, and state. Okay? That was actually a question I asked someplace where a lot of people did a lot of complex things. And all I really wanted was a create something as, select something else. I don't remember which assignment it was, but I think it was the views assignment. And there was one where all I wanted to do was two statements like this. I said I didn't want all of the fields, so I was looking for something like this. And then I said I didn't want all the records, so you'd add a where in to get rid of some of the records. And it was as simple as that. And I don't know why, but I got a lot of very complex solutions. And all I was really looking for was that. So, anyway, as an aside. Okay, so I have this set of things that a cursor requires. Okay, when using a cursor in PLSQL, there are four things that must be accomplished by the programmer. First, the cursor has to be declared. And if you look at the example below, you can see where I am declaring the cursor up in the declarative section. So I said, declare cursor, donor cursor is, select name, goal, state from donor. Okay, so that's my cursor. And what a cursor is, really, is just an area where I've put together a work area, where I've put together this collection of data. So I've said, go into donor cursor, go into donor, rather, and select the name, year, goal, and state for all of the people and put it into the donor cursor work area. So first, the cursor must be declared. Second, the cursor needs to be opened. So right down in begin, the first thing I'm doing is saying open donor cursor. And that opens the cursor. Third, the fetch is used to fetch the results of the query into the variables declared in PLSQL. So I am selecting the name, year, goal, and state. So I have set up a VName, VYear, goal, VState, which is the individual fields that I'm going to be using. So a fetch is like a read. Think of it as like a read. When I open the cursor, I now have all of the records that were on the donor table. I have their name, year, goal, and state available to me in the cursor. What I have now is I'm going to step through the cursor one record at a time. Okay, so it's a collection of records, and I'm going to step through the cursor one record at a time. So I say fetch donor cursor into VName, VYear, goal, VState. And obviously the order has to be the same as my original select statement up here in the cursor. So the name goes to VName, the year goal goes to VYear, goal, and the state goes to VState. So I have read the record. And then I'm saying while donor cursor found. And think of that as while it's not end of file. Basically, while there is still a record in the cursor, because I'm stepping through the cursor one thing at a time. So this is really equivalent to reading a bunch of records off a file. It's just that I take the records that I want and put them in the cursor, and then I read them from the cursor. And behind the scenes, I mean, if there were 10,000 records that met it, Oracle is taking care of the behind-the-scenes stuff. You can just assume that all 10,000 records are available for you, but in fact, Oracle's doing its thing, and they're not all sitting there. But the access is. So then I say, okay, fourth, the cursor needs to be closed. So you can see after I'm all done, I come down here after the loop is over, and I close the donor cursor. Okay, so in this one, I was putting data into donor pot. Because I think actually at the top I deleted all the data out of donor pot. I think I changed my mind and deleted all the data. So I said six rows deleted, so donor pot is now empty. So I'm putting the stuff into donor pot down here. So I said, while donor cursor is found, meaning while there is still something in the cursor, insert into donor pot the values V name, V year goal, and V state. So I'm putting a record into donor pot. And then once I've done that insert, I do the fetch and I loop back up. And as long as the fetch was successful, I'm going to go into the loop. Okay? So this really is this right here is like an initializing. It's like an initializing read, so that I'm reading the first record before I go in. Okay, so the fetch here is like an initializing read. So I'm reading the first record. Then I go into the loop and I read all the records I handle here. Okay, all other records I handle there. Or all other elements in the cursor. I'm calling them records, but they're whatever is the name for it officially is in the cursor. And it will keep going. And I did the same logic that I do in programming, which is I had the initializing one outside the loop. And then I did the fetch at the end of the loop right before I go back and check to see if the fetch was successful. Okay, so as soon as I do the fetch, I go back and find out if it was found. As long as it was found, I go in and do the loop again and do another insert, and then I do another fetch from the donor cursor. And the donor cursor, remember, has records from the donor table. Yes, no, maybe? Yeah.
Question on the fetch. I see it's repeated twice. You have to do the initial fetch. Is there any way that you can just have a fetch in the loop?
Yeah, but I like the logic better this way. I mean, this is my choice of logic is to do an initializing read outside the loop and then do the other read at the bottom of the loop. That's my favorite way of doing it. So that's why I did it that way. If you go in and you do the fetch inside the loop, then you don't know at the top, you don't know whether it's successful or not, so then you have to have an if statement in there to find out if it was successful. So that's why I like, okay, kind of a priming read to go in, and then everything right before I check. So I read, and then I check, and then I read, and then I check. Oh, in this case, I fetch, and then I check. So logically, that's my choice, but yes, you could put it inside, but then you obviously don't want to do an insert if the fetch wasn't successful, so you got to ask the question, if it was found, then I am going to do the insert.
could you, when you do the declare, and the cursor in the declare section, can you put the where?
Yes. Yeah, and you'll see that coming up.
Okay.
But you can be very specific about what you want to select here. You can have a very complex where. And that's a good thing to do because it limits the number of records that you're going to have to process. So if you can, if you've got 10,000 records out there and you can put a where in there that's going to eliminate 9,000 of them, then you've got a lot less records that you have to deal with. So putting a where inside the cursor is a great way to cut down on processing time and speed and all that good stuff. So really the big thing about a cursor is that I am going in and doing my standard select and getting a whole bunch of records that meet my standard select kind of statement. And then I am putting them aside and putting them in the cursor. And then I am stepping through the records individually. Now that's the part that plain old SQL doesn't let you do. Is the step through the records individually. So this gets me the collection of records, and then I can step through the collection individually. Okay. Because there are just times when that's what you want to do. And you can do it with SQL, but then you're writing very specific, get me with a certain ID, get me with a certain ID, get me with a certain ID, and this is a lot more effective. Okay, so this is the file that was created using that, using cursor one. And again, the way I'm working is I do an edit of cursor one and then I execute with the add sign. So add sign cursor one executes. Okay. And then I said down here, we get into two ways to do the selecting. Okay. And the second way is with the where. So if I only wanted to see year goal greater than 50, I can put an if statement in here and say, okay, if year goal is greater than 50, do the insert, otherwise I have an end if and so I'm doing nothing. Okay, so that is only getting me the records of the year goal greater than 50. And the better way of doing that is the next example down where I'm saying where yield goal is greater than 50 in the select, in the original select. So that means I don't even have to handle those records. So with the one with the if statement, I've got to still handle all the records. In this one, I have eliminated and I'm only handling a few records. So this is more effective. Okay. So anything you can think of to eliminate records in this initial select is going to be more effective because then the fetch has to only handle those records instead of the fetch handling them all and then making a decision about the record with the if statement. So that this is the better way of doing it. But it can be done either way. So up there I did it with an embedded if, and I only did the insert if the if worked. And then down below I did it by only getting the records that met that criteria. Questions? Okay, this is another way of doing it. I like the while way better. Exit. Well, when I started programming, we did what was basically ended up being kind of a spaghetti bowl kind of programming. And then we went to procedural programming was the next thing. And the procedural programming basically said you shouldn't exit out of a loop. You should control the loop, but not have an exit that leaves you out of the loop. And I guess that really took to me, so that when I see the word exit, I cringe. Okay, so I don't want to see the word exit. Now, if you have to have an exit, this is the way to do it, which is to put the exit right at the bottom, as opposed to embedding the exit, because that's the thing they really complain about. So this one is a loop, and I, as I said, I like the while loop better, but I've done examples with both. So this one has a loop and an end loop, and this one therefore needs to exit, because the loop doesn't tell when to get out. So I need to know when to exit. Okay, so I am exiting out after I do the fetch if it's not found. So in fact, the only difference here is I do a fetch, then I immediately check, and if it's not found, I exit. With the while, I loop back, and the while does the check, and then I exit. So in fact, the logic is very much the same. It's just I'm not real partial to that. Okay? And I don't think it's me personally. I think there's a lot of us that cringe at the word exit because it was drilled into us so strongly that we shouldn't be using the word exit. What do you mean we're using the word exit? Okay? So again, the cursor is bringing up the records. But until I open them, the cursor is not actually set. Okay, I have defined what it will do, but until I open it, it actually isn't done. When I open it, I fill the cursor with the records that I'm looking for. Then I read them one record at a time by using the fetch. And then when I'm all done with the loop, I close the donor cursor and get out. Okay. Okay, they also give you a row count. And as I said here, in the next example, I only want to process the first four rows in the donor table. I can handle this using row count. And I kept the found in there, as I said, because what if there aren't four rows? Okay? Especially if I put a bunch of whiles, queers on this, you know, it might be that I didn't get four rows. So I said, while the donor cursor row count is less than five, and the donor cursor is found. So I'm saying keep going until I've processed four records. But if the donor cursor doesn't have four records in it, then get out early. So that's basically what I'm putting a compound in there to do. And that shows you how you can do the compound. So again, I do an insert and then I do another fetch. So I'm not real clear on why I would only want to process the first four records, but if that's what I want, that's how I can do it. Questions?
If you wanted to know ahead of time how many records you were dealing with, can you use that row count and put it into a variable?
The row count acts as you are processing.
Two while loops?
Yeah, I mean, you can do a while and do a count and get your count at the end. And I'm trying to think if there is some way that you can do a count ahead of time to find out how many are in the cursor. You ask hard questions.
Row count would give that to you, so...
Right, but I'm row count...
But you can't just put it into a variable.
No, but while donut has a row count, I think row... Maybe I'm not handling row count right, and let's see if it's right. But my understanding of row count is that it is something that's incremented, like if I keep track of count.
Okay.
So,
Oh, that would make sense, because how else would you
right.
do that?
And I'm looking to see, because I thought I had something else about row count here.
The
count would be defined. Yeah. Okay. I want to process, as always, da-da-da-da. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Right. And I think I'm right. Okay. There may well be something that can go in and check it, but as he said, you could do a simple little while loop and just add to it all the way through. But there's got to be a way to get a count.
There it does. Because you might want to know it.
And you may find it in a later example that I forgot it was there, right. But...
Right. Okay. I'll be patient.
This one, I don't know. I don't think it's worth much, but there we have it. You get this row ID. So I wanted to scroll down and show you what a row ID is. I'm not absolutely clear as to why I can't have the row ID, but you can see it goes 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So maybe if you got a row ID of, but then how do you tell it the last record? I don't know. Anyway, row ID will print out an ID that is like this. So I can print out the name, the year goal, the state, and a row ID. So I've added in a row ID, basically. And I'm not, as I said, the practicality of this I'm not real clear on, because I can't think of any place that I really want it. But I altered the table, and I added in a row ID. So I now have a name, year, goal, state, and a row ID. Okay. So now I said the cursor is... Select donor cursor is, select name, etc., etc., and donor record donor cursor row type. Okay, that tells me the row type. So I'm opening the cursor. I fetch the donor cursor into the donor record. Okay, so the donor record is that... This is a row type. So when I do the fetch, instead of putting it into the individual fields, I said put it into donor record. And donor record has the row type of the donor cursor. Okay? So that means that donor record is going to have the name, year, goal, state, and row ID. So instead of setting up individual fields for them, I can say fetch donor cursor into donor rec. And so there's donor rec, and it is the same type as the donor cursor. So there's the donor cursor. And I've now said this is the same type as the donor cursor, meaning it has those four fields. Okay, then I did a DBMS and I put out the donor record and the donor record year goal. Okay, so you can see I printed out the words donor record and donor record year goal. So what happened was I said that donor record is the same type. So when I want to see year goal, I say donor record dot year goal. Okay? It's just another way of doing it. And I did a display of the donor record and the donor record year goal. And then I did an insert where I said insert donor record dot name, donor record dot year goal, donor record dot state, donor record dot row ID, and those got inserted into my table. And then I can do another fetch. Okay? And if you look at the table that came out, you can see that what came out was name, year goal, state, row, ID. So I kind of ended up combining here row ID and row type. I didn't have to have any kind of row ID in this one. I just ended up doing it. The big thing is that instead of saving the fields individually, I ended up so that when I did a fetch, I moved them into individual fields. When I do the fetch, I move them into the donor record. But the donor record has the same description as the donor cursor. And so I can refer to the things as donor rec.name, donor rec.yearGoal, donor record.state. Does that make sense? I'm not real clear why, again, that this gives me a whole lot of advantage. I guess it saves me a little bit of writing. That's about all it saves me. Okay. But the donor rec has the same fields because it's of the type that the donor cursor is. So it has the same fields. So instead of moving them into V name, V year goal, V state, which is what I did before, I am basically saying donor rec has the same description, so I can refer to donor rec.name, donor rec.year goal. Because the cursor had a name and a year goal, so therefore donor rec does. And I'm clearly not doing a very good job of explaining this, because I am not seeing faces that look lit up and understanding. So, ask questions, folks.
The row ID, is that zero-based? Let's see.
Yep. Yeah, I don't...
The zero?
Yeah, it apparently does. I mean, I got it from the same thing that you did, and I'm sure you can go read the story of row type's life. Don't ask me what this first one is, why that is, got that name, and... You know, I'm sure I can go and read if I want to about how they create row ID. I guess I'm just not intellectually curious enough. So I let them do their thing. It's clear that the middle thing there, when you look at the dots, that the middle thing there is identifying individual records. I have no idea where they came up with the first and the last. Okay, so if you have more intellectual curiosity than I do, feel free to do a search. I don't think I ever knew that. There are some things I forget. I don't think I ever knew that or ever cared. Okay, so row type is the thing here that I want you to be most interested in. Does row type make sense?
It's basically instead of setting up all those variables.
Right. And it gives me access to all of the information just fine. So that I grab it and I can insert it and it worked just fine.
You could also do a select star from donor and then create a row type for all the fields on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, that's an interesting question. If I did select asterisks, I think that would work fine. I'm not sure I've ever tried that. But I think it would work fine because it then can go and look up the description of Dona. But that would actually be one that would be worth trying. Okay. So this is a basic introduction to curses. And as I said, curses really aren't that scary because they're really just a way of collecting the data.
Strange name for it.
Yeah. But it's a name that's been used a lot in other languages. When COBOL went online, they came up with a cursor that they used for some of that. And it's used in other languages. Okay, there's an explanation up there of the example we're going to look at. We're going to go and look at the example, but you can read the explanation at some point. So on this one, I went back and I said, select drive number, drive name from drive, and order by drive number. And then this is how I can work with two tables. So then I said, select count amount from donation, where V drive number equals drive number, order by drive number. Okay. This is setting up two curses. Okay, the first one is going to have a drive number and a drive name. So if you look down below, I said open the drive cursor. So the drive cursor is now open. Okay? And we're going to have in there a drive number and a drive name. Did I do the nice thing and show you the data? No, of course not. Okay, so drive number was what, 100, 200, 300 or something like that that I usually do. So, and then drive name is, I can't remember what they are. So I've got my drive cursor, and I said put into the drive cursor the drive number and the drive name. So we'll say this is what it gets. Okay. So as soon as I open the drive cursor, and it's the open that puts that in. Now, I also wanted it in order by drive number. And again, whenever you care about the order of records, you should put an order by in. Because part of the copyrighted magic that happens behind the scenes on Oracle can give you some kind of strange orders if you don't do the order by clause. So whenever you care about the order, you want to do the order by clause. Okay? So I've now got the drive cursor there. So I said fetch the drive cursor into V drive number, V name. So right now I've got 100 in here, and I've got A whatever is the name. And I've got that in there. Okay, so the fetch did that. Exit when drive cursor not found. It's found. Then I asked if donation cursor is open, then close it, and then we're going to reopen it again. And in fact, logically, I didn't need that statement there. I put it in mainly to show you that you can set check on donation cursor. But if I know what I'm doing, I really don't need to do that. If I don't know what I'm doing in writing the code, then it's probably a good thing to check up on. But this is not needed. But what I'm doing there is saying, if it is open, close it. And then right after the if statement, I open it. Basically, in other words, I want to open it fresh. And so if I forgot to close it, then close it now is what I'm saying there. And again, as long as you know what you're doing and you do the logic correctly, that really doesn't have to be there. I guess it's an insurance policy if you're paranoid, and I tend to be paranoid sometimes. But I mainly put it there because I wanted to show you that command. So, if it's open, close it. And now open the donation cursor. So the donation cursor is going to open according to the rules of when I declared it. So I've got my donation cursor, and it is going to contain just the contamount. So I am saying I want the contribution amount where the drive number is equal to 100. Okay, where the drive number, which is 100, is equal to the drive number. So I'm only going for contributions to drive 100. That's what I'm effectively doing there, is I'm going for contributions to drive 100. Because I've already fetched the first record. Okay, so I fetched the first record over to there. It has drive number of 100. So now I'm saying, when I say open the donation cursor, I am saying according to the rules for the cursor. And the rules for the cursor say, give me the contribution amount, okay, for all records that have 100 as their ID. Okay, because I'm saying where V drive number equals drive number being the field on the donation table. Okay, so I'm only going to get 100. And what does it look like I'm getting? 25, 45, 55 maybe? I don't know, but I'm getting a bunch of numbers. Okay? So the current amount is, what is current amount? No, current amount is adding totals. So it looks like I had a 25, a 20, and a 10, and maybe a 50. So it looks like I have a 25 and a 20. The 25 and 20 is 45. And a 10 to get up to 55. And a 50 to get up there. And I'm writing out those lines, and then I'm going to go back. So I think that's the numbers that I have in there looking at the output. And we'll find out if I did it wrong. Okay, so I'm opening the donation cursor, and what I'm claiming here is that there were four records with an ID of 100. Okay, so there were four records with an ID of 100, and I don't know whether I handled that right, because we'll see where it goes in a minute. So then I set up a variable. I didn't set it up. I initialized the variable tote contamount equal to 0. And the reason I initialized it to 0 is that I want to go through and not have any old number from a previous group. Well, on the first group, it would be 0 anyway, but I'm initializing it to 0 when I drop through here again. For drive 200, then this becomes important. So I've got tote amount equal to 0. So I've got V tote cont amount, and I have set that to 0. Okay. So now I do a fetch from the donation cursor. Okay, so I'm doing a fetch on this first record.
what I got from the fetch over there. So I'm doing a fetch of that first record.
And I think I'll take a picture of the screen before I go any further. Okay? So I'm saying exit when donor cursor not found. And this is the kind of exit I don't like, but you see it a lot, and so I've tried to do a variety of stuff here, but I don't like the exit in the middle. So I said exit when the donation cursor is not found. So that gets me out. Only if it's found do I go ahead and do the add. So I say, okay, now take 25 and add it to 0, and so this is going to go up to 25. Oops, 5. That's a 5. It's going to go up to 25 because I added it. And then I put out the line that says the current amount is, and I put out the total. So you can see that first line that came out down below that says the current amount is 25. And then I end the loop. And I go back again, and I fetch the next thing. So I now fetch the 20. Okay, it's not time to exit yet. I add it, and it's now up to 45. And I write it out, so you can see that written out. Okay. And then I go back, and I fetch the next one. So I'm now fetching the 10. And I add that, so I'm up to 55, and I write that out, and I move back, and I fetch the next thing, and I add it, and I write it out, and then I loop back, and I fetch the next thing, and no fetch. It didn't work. So I exit when it wasn't found. Okay, so I'm exiting out of here at that point. So I exit when the donation cursor is not found, and I exit out of the loop. Now I go down and I insert into Cont Info, which is a table that I have, and I'm putting Drive 100 and the A and the total of Cont amount, which is 105, and I just did the insert of that. And then at that point, I close the donation cursor. So the donation cursor gets closed. Okay. Then I hit the end loop, and so I'm going to loop up again. And what does it say when I loop up? It says fetch drive cursor into V drive number, V drive name. Okay. So now I'm fetching this one, and I'm going to have 200 and the V. Okay, so that's what's sitting there, is now the 200 and the V. Okay. Exit when cursor not found. The cursor was found. Is the donation cursor open? No. But if it was, I would close it. But I very carefully closed it down after I did my insert, so it's closed. So I closed it, and now I'm saying, okay, now open the donation cursor. Okay, it looks to me like I have 40 and 35 probably.
So I am now going to have 40 and 35, does that look right to you?
Mm-hmm.
Looking down there.
Okay, so I now have 40 and 35 in there. Okay, because I opened it, and that gets me that. Then I zero this out, so I've now got a zero there. And then I say, okay, fetch into V cont amount. So at this point, I am fetching the 40. Okay, so I'm fetching the 40, exit when it's not found, add it, and write it out.
loop back, fetch the next thing, which is 35, exit if it's not found, but it was found, add it, and I'm now up to 75. And then I loop back, and it was not found. There's nothing there. Okay? So I have nothing there. So at that point, I'm out. And I end up writing onto the new file, the 200, the B, and the 75. Okay. Then I close the donation cursor. Okay, and I want to take a picture before I do this. So I close the donation cursor. Okay, now, I see a 10 and a 20 coming up. Can somebody that's not going to mess things up scroll down and tell me if there's something beyond the 10 and the 20? See where it says the current amount is 10, the current amount is 20? Is there something beneath that? No. Okay. So when I close this up, okay, I'm going to close that up. So if it's open, close it. But I close, I'm sorry, I close the donation cursor here. I'm sorry, I wasn't where I was. And then I loop back up and I fetch the drive cursor. So now I'm fetching this and I now have 300 with the C. Okay, so I've got the 300 with the C when I did the fetch from the drive cursor. And then I check to see if the donation cursor is open. It's not. So I open the donation cursor. And when I open the donation cursor, I'm looking for the records for the 300, and I think they're 10 and 20. Okay, so I'm putting the 10 and the 20 in there. Okay, and then I come down and I zero out this. The V-tote count amount, I zero out. And then I go in and I fetch the cursor. So I am fetching the 10. Okay. And once I've fetched it, is it in the file? No. Add it. So I now have 10 in there. And write it out. So I write it out. Loop back. Fetch the next thing. And I get a 20. Okay. It's actually a 10. Yeah, you're right. It's 20 is the total. Sorry, that's a 10. Okay, so I fetched the 10, and now I've got 20. And I add it, and I write it out, and I loop back, and I try to fetch, and there's nothing there. So it can't do the fetch. So it exits. I insert the 300, the C, and the 20, and then what do? I close the donation cursor, okay, so I'm closing the donation cursor, and I go back, and I go to fetch, and nothing is there to fetch.
I do have a 400.
Pardon me?
You have something in the drive table, but nothing in the donation table for that drive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Depending on when I wrote it, there may be the 400 there or not, depending on when I wrote it. But if there's nothing there, then when I do the fetch, I exit when the drive cursor is not found. Okay? If I do find something, then I go down to the loop and I exit because the donation cursor is not found. I close it and I go back up, and this time I try to fetch and there's no 500, so I will exit. Okay, so it depends. I had various versions out there, some with the 400 and some without. Either way, when the loop is over, when I no longer have a drive to get, then the loop is over because I exit and when the exit is done, I close the drive cursor. So that closes the drive cursor. And then I am done.
So when you get, if you get that drive that has no donations, it still inserts a record into the...
Yeah, yeah, no, it would.
But with a value of zero. Okay.
With a value of zero.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it would, because I set it to zero. So if there was a 400 drive with no donations to the 400 drive, then it would exit this loop immediately, but it already had set it to zero. So I would write out the drive number, the drive name, and the zero.
If the answer was inside that loop, then that would not be the case, right?
You say that again?
If you have that insert into the info there.
Yeah, if I had put an if statement on that.
Yeah.
And my if statement could have been if V totem counter amount equals zero. But if I had a 400 drive, I'd probably want the zero there, so it would be the right thing to do. Because I'd want to say that there were no donations to 400. Okay, I'm supposed to be able to right-click and get out of this. Right-click, 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 right. Okay, we're going to stare at this apparently for the rest of the time. Okay, clicking on that got me out. And so if I scroll down, yeah, there's the halfway zero. So I did it with the halfway with zero. And I had the 100 and what I call A, B, and C, but I got 175, 20, and then the halfway was zero. And so it got me the zero. Okay, so what I've got here, and this is starting to get really kind of neat, is I've got a one-to-many relationship going on. Okay, I have let's try that one more time. Can we get out of this? Because I don't want that magnified like that. Okay, I have a one-to-many relationship. One drive has many donations. So that's a one-to-many relationship. I can have one drive and I can have many donations. And so what I am doing there is I want to process the donations. I want to process the many according to the drives. So I am bringing in all the drives. And then I'm saying, okay, now I will grab the first drive and I will get all of the donations for that drive. And I will process all of the donations that go with that drive. Okay. So to do that, I need to, number one, have the order the same. Okay? Because I want the 100 to appear first in both of those tables. Okay, I want the 100 to appear first in the drive table, and then I want the 100s to appear in the donation table. Now, in fact, I could probably not have ordered that one, and it would say where V drive number equals, and so that one would work all right. Okay, but I wanted to process them in order, so the drive had to be in order. I had to put order by drive number. I mean, at that point, I'm going in, it's going to be more effective if they're in order, right? Because then I'm just taking a chunk at the beginning.
but it would find all of the 100s. And so it would work either way, because I said I only want the records where the drive number is equal to the one that I got from the drive taking. So it's equal to 100, so it would extract all the 100s.
I tend to, if I'm ordering one, order them all in the same order so that I'm processing them in the same order. Okay? So then I open OneDrive, get its drive number, and now once I've got its drive number, I can go and open the other one to get its matching donations. And the neat thing is that the open, whenever you give the open statement executes the information that you put with the cursor. And so when you give the open statement, it looks for that match that you said you needed. Okay? And so if I close it and then open it again, it will again execute according to what's in that cursor. So when I have drive 100, it gets me all the drive 100s. When I have drive 200, it gets me all the drive 200s. So it's kind of neat that I can open the drive cursor, get a drive, and then said, okay, go find me all of the matching donations that go with that drive. And that uses the open statement to do it. And so in this case, the drive cursor is open for the entire duration. I open it at the top of the begin, and I open it right before I get out. But the donation one keeps getting open and closed as I process the different drives.
So the order by in the donation cursor doesn't really do anything.
No, that's what I said. You could eliminate that. Yeah, you have to have it in the drive cursor. In the donation, I tend to just, if I'm ordering one table and I'm processing them together, I kind of tend by habit to order them both and say, okay, they're both going to be in the same order, so therefore it works. But it would go in and it would do the search and find just if the drive number's 100. So that would work.
But it's kind of neat processing. I mean, I think it's kind of a neat way of doing things. And if she...
There's not that many of us.
That's right. She said there was only...
We put the